Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
A gentleman by the name of Larry Grover, who's the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, a conservative group politically, is on the line with us. You have mentioned to me, Larry, before, as we talk about the upcoming campaign and we talk about President Bush's war in Iraq, you have mentioned before that you were touched by the pictures of the photos of the coffins of the men and women returning from Iraq.
Well, that is very accurate, Phil. Conservatives of Kern County, as well as other public service organizations, have seen these pictures. Certainly we saw the pictures of Paul Tillman, and that for every man or woman in Iraq or Afghanistan who's fighting, there's a family here in America. And when we saw those coffins, we wanted to do something, and I think we could all reach out.
And you are personally, right? And we're talking about the family members back here whose loved one may be in Iraq or Afghanistan.
That is correct. In our case, I live with mother and our neighbors to the east of us, the D'Amatos. Paul, as the husband, was just called up for active duty. He's in the United States Army. He has, as of a month ago, gone to Afghanistan. He'll be gone for 9 months, according to his wife, Jennifer. And I guess it's just being a neighbor. We've told her whatever we can do, we're there for her.
So she is your neighbor, and other people, I guess you're encouraging to do the same thing for any families that they know of who have members in the military who are serving in Afghanistan, who are serving in Iraq.
Well, there are many ways to reach out to these families, Phil. When you see a young bride or a young mother whose husband is gone, I've gone over to mow the lawn a couple of times. She's mentioned that they were planning on putting up new rain gutters, so we had the rain gutters replaced.
How are their money situation?
Well, financially, they seem to be fine. Paul is a firefighter with L.A. County, but I guess the toughest part for a family is not having that man around, and so I've tried whenever to pick up some of the slack and help the family out. And I guess, Phil, in my way, because I was not in the military due to the fact I was a student, it's my way of contributing to our effort in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, it's a good example, Larry, when you tie it to the images of those men and women coming home honorably, draped with a flag, for what we can all do, for anybody who has a service member in Afghanistan, and they live on your street, just something you can do to reach out to them.
That is correct. The other thing I want to point out, Phil, and I think it needs to be said, those of us who do help out here at home, those of us who are helping out a family whose loved one may be in Afghanistan or Iraq, I just wanted to tip my cap to them tonight because I don't think that they get a lot of the credit. I don't know how many of them there are. I do know that I'm probably the only one in my area where I live.
Where are you? In Culver City?
I'm in Culver City. I haven't heard too much in the news about, you know, people like myself who are helping out the families of service members.
Well, when you say help out, you're talking about mowing lawns, babysitting, doing repairs around the house, bag of groceries.
Well, that's true. That's really what I'm talking about. Although you enumerating those things makes it sound like there are a lot of people doing it. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, I'm not trying to say it isn't.
Well, but we don't hear a lot of people giving us credit, I guess is what I'm saying. I called the L.A. Times. One of the reasons why I wanted to come on your program, Phil, I called the L.A. Times, and they are obviously against the war in Iraq, so having anything to do with helping our soldiers, they don't want to be a part of that.
Well, what did you called the L.A. Times to ask for what?
Well, I wanted to know if they would at least put a mention in their paper about what I was doing. We had a beautiful day here in California yesterday. I suggest they come out for a color photo or something in their calendar section.
So are you're talking about not getting appreciation for helping out the families of these service members?
Well, the young lady next door, this young bride, I don't think they've been married 2 years, and her husband's down in Afghanistan, and I have been, like I said, and you know, to help mow the lawn. And you know, you read about the soldiers and what they're doing, but you don't read about me or anybody like me taking care of a soldier's home or helping his bride around the house. But most recently, I read about Mr. Paul Tillman, who has died in Afghanistan, and that is wonderful, but what about the people that were at that time maybe mowing his lawn or helping his new wife? That's all I'm talking about.
And you don't feel you're getting the kind of recognition that you should for that. Now, I want to give our number out, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. But here's my question for you. Are you saying, because you compared the soldiers to you, right?
Oh, no. Well, no, I wouldn't compare the soldiers. What I'm saying is you read all about them, but you never read about someone like me who is helping this guy who's in Afghanistan. Because I read about this gentleman, Mr. Tillman, who is from the Arizona Football Club, correct?
Yes, Pat Tillman. He died in Afghanistan last week.
Yeah, and you hear all about that, and I certainly am very much in favor of hearing about that, and I honor him, but you don't hear, was there someone mowing his wife's lawn or taking care of, taking a trash? It's another thing that I did that I mentioned to when I called Channel 9. They do a show called Nine on the Town, Mr. John Tyndale. And I said, at that time, I left two or three messages with him saying that I'm taking the trash out, I'm doing these things, and her husband's in Afghanistan, and I haven't received a call back. And so...
But you also called the Department of Defense. I wanted to bring this to my listeners' attention because you were curious if there were medals given for this sort of thing?
No, I wanted to know if they had civilian medals for helping the families. It sounds as if I'm trying to get recognition for myself, and I'm not, Phil. What I'm trying to do is point out that while our men are over there serving in Iraq or Afghanistan, there are people like me who are back here, you know, going over and helping things. You know, she was trying to get the recycling separated out in her garbage the other day, so we're helping out that way. I get the bottles into the one can, and the garbage goes into another can. In another instance, she wanted to, I guess what she was trying to do is get the lock changed at her back door, so I went over, I had the keys made. And I had called the Department of Defense because I wanted to know if they had any kind of a civilian medal for helping the families of the soldiers, or at least some kind of certificate, and I was told no, they didn't. That's fine. And I called Channel 9 and asked for this producer, Mr. Tyndale, to return the call. I put in several calls, and he hasn't called me back. And so this is what I'm talking about. All you ever hear about are the soldiers.
Well, right there, if I could just interrupt you.
Sure.
When you bring the soldiers up in the same breath of what you're doing, do you think it's comparable?
No, I most certainly do not.
You don't think that what the soldiers are fighting and dying for in Iraq, the job they have to do, is the same as the one you're doing over here?
No, absolutely not, Phil.
By helping out these families?
Absolutely not. But I am saying all you ever hear about are them. And I'm wondering why I put in a call to the LA Times, Channel 9. I also had put in a call to the Department of Defense, why they are not saying anything about me.
Well, the soldiers are putting their lives on the line. You're helping this young wife of a man who is in Afghanistan, and that's admirable. But he is there is the possibility that he may not come back.
Well, that is a reality that he may not come back, and I'm having a hard time bringing that up to his wife Jennifer. The fact that he could get killed and she may never see him again.
And well, my advice is you don't bring that up to her.
I'm sorry?
My advice is you don't talk to her about that. You just continue to help her around the house. Let her live in hope.
I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't hear you.
Let her live in hope. The odds are he will come back.
Well, I'm a 43-year-old man. I'm older than her husband, Paul, but I'm a respectable gentleman. I attend our Presbyterian church here in Culver City. I'm the night manager at Culver Print. I've got a lot to offer, young lady. And how do I make her see it's futile, you know, waiting for this young man? And
well, why do you say it's futile? I mean, he may come home. You know, the odds are he will come home. We're not suffering as many people would. We're not suffering that high a casualty rate.
Well, but my father used to say a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, and I feel I'm just doing my part for our war effort.
But I think you may be demoralizing this young wife while helping her out, saying that her husband may not come back.
I'm a Republican. I'm a member of the Conservatives of Kern County. I volunteered to mow her lawn, get her groceries, to do odd repairs. I asked if at the time, you know, if the Times or Channel 9 would like to do a report on me, and they weren't interested. When I tried to present myself to her as a suitor, a respectable suitor, showing her the futility of her situation, she's balked. It really leaves me with a bitter taste in my mouth.
Well, I don't think you're a suitor yet, are you? You're a man who is helping out a woman who has a husband in Afghanistan.
Who could very well die. I was reading about this gentleman, Tillman.
Soldiers die and a lot of them come home. Try and, if I were you...
Well, the problem is, you know, I want to help out our war effort, but I'm not getting anything really in return, and that is why I have petitioned the Veterans Administration as well as the Department of Defense for some kind of ancillary GI benefit.
So you're asking for government subsidy?
No, sir. I'm asking the GIs get the GI Bill. What I'm doing to help this young wife, you know, whatever, maybe just cleaning out rain gutters, but I do want to have some kind of financial aid from the government on that.
All right, hold on for a minute, Mr. Grover, because the story has changed a little bit. 1-800-449-8686. Here's a man who, with the Conservatives of Kern County, Larry Grover, believes that if there's a family on your street who is husband or brother or even wife or sister or off in Afghanistan or Iraq, you can help that family go over and do odd repairs, pick up groceries, and so on and so forth. He's done this for a lady that lives next door, but he's also wondering why he hasn't gotten any recognition for it. The other part that I don't really like is that he has talked to her about the futility of waiting around for a man who has gone to war in Afghanistan. He may not come back. Now, I don't know whether that's something you do bring up to somebody or not, but I believe that he should at least let her live in a little bit of hope. The bottom line, though, is since he hasn't gotten any recognition from the L.A. Times or Channel 9 or those are the groups that he's mentioned, Janice, he is applying to the Department of Defense for what he calls ancillary veterans benefits articulated in the GI Bill for helping out this lady at her house. 1-800-449-8686. Larry Grover from the Conservatives of Kern County on the help he's giving a young war bride as her man is off fighting, and what is he getting for it? He's not quite sure. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Talk radio speed track.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With so many men and women at war in Iraq and Afghanistan, this generation of Americans find themselves where a lot of generations of Americans have found themselves, here at home, taking care of the families of those men and women fighting. And are we good neighbors? Are we ignoring them? Are they struggling? And could they use our help? Larry Grover joins us from Conservatives of Kern County. You have taken up the cause of the case of a neighbor's family. By the way, this neighbor's name is Paul D'Amato. He's with the United States Army in Afghanistan, correct?
That is correct, yes.
And his wife is Jennifer. Are there children?
No, Phil, there are no children. They are a newlywed couple of about a year.
So you've gone over to help her with her chores?
Just things. I'm not looking for anybody to pat me on the back. I'm not looking for anyone to reward me. I would appreciate it if somebody noticed, and that's why I called the L.A. Times. Of course, the L.A. Times, you know, you do anything to help the soldiers, they don't want to write about that, because helping our fighting men and women is the last thing they want to do. So I called up this John Tyndale at Channel 9, who's a producer, and he didn't return my calls. But I'm not looking for anybody to pat me on the back. But by the same token, she's waiting around for a guy that may not come home.
And that's the part that I got a problem with.
What?
Telling this young war bride that her husband may not come home. That's got to be demoralizing to her.
No, not at all, Phil. I'm just presenting to her when we sit and she'll bring me a coffee. But I've done a lot of stuff around the house, and all she says is, "Thank you so much, Larry," which in many ways is almost like a kick right to my face for the things that I've done.
I don't understand, really.
Well, I'm not looking for anything, really, Phil, other than the fact that, you know, I have, you know, an interest in her well-being, I guess.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Ellen, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Larry Grover. Go ahead.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Larry. My name is Ellen.
Just fine,
thank you. I just wanted to comment to you that I feel that it is inappropriate for you to spend time with this woman and discuss that her husband may not come back. I think you have an underlying motive.
Well, it's conversation.
To get, can I finish, please?
Well,
I think you have an
starter.
Underlying motive to to connect with this person, which is totally inappropriate. She's a married woman. By all means, you should be encouraging her that her husband will come home. I feel that you're doing these things for her to get on her side, and I do feel that you want personal recognition for this. I think there's many people
out there that are
helping families.
That's very incorrect. I don't know if you know about Pat Dillman.
They're helping families, and they don't expect to have recognition for what they are doing.
Well, I don't know who they are. You one of them? Because there's very few.
Actually, I am one of them. I also help serve the homeless people. I help for 15 years with the handicapped people. But I never call up and ask for recognition for that.
Well, I'm not talking about working with the homeless. I'm talking about which I personally would not do because I'm not... I think I got better things to do with my time.
I don't think
the homeless are dedicating anything to our country. I think our fighting men and women are. If you want to help somebody, Ellen, help the families of it.
That's very judgmental.
Yes, it is. It is very judgmental.
And the judgment is
our soldiers are more valuable than homeless people.
Let me just say this.
I was a student at the time of the Vietnam War. Otherwise, I would have been happy to go over and fight. This is the way I'm trying to pay back my country.
Okay, I was not a student at the time, but I was in the military. I was in the Air Force for Vietnam.
You know, she may be reading a box, that's all.
I didn't expect any recognition for that.
Excuse me, I'm talking about me, though. See, you're talking about you.
Okay, you were trying to put me down, which I won't allow you to
do. No, I'm not putting you down.
And I never asked for recognition.
Why do I care what happened?
I just feel that you need to explore your motives for helping this woman. I think you have ulterior motives to try to get close to her.
I think it's easy to say coming from somebody that doesn't help our military families.
For what you have done. I do help the military families.
Miss Cleo, I got to go. I mean, you must be psychic because you're telling me what I'm thinking, Miss Cleo.
I think it's very apparent to anybody who's listening to you.
Ellen, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome.
I don't want this to be argumentative. You're doing something good for the military families.
Well, of course I am, but so I'm getting judged, and this is another thing. How come I get judged, but the soldiers? I was in a kitchen fixing a drip, and there was a leak in one of the washers over at the D'Amato home, and on the radio, the song by Air Supply had come out, and the song goes, "I'm all out of love, I'm so lost without you." And I turned around and I asked Jennifer if she wanted to dance, and she said no. And, man, you might as well have taken a lead-lined boot and thrust it as hard as you could into that area of my body, which I hope someday will provide the seed for, for a family of my own.
That she wouldn't dance with you, man? She's got a man over in Afghanistan. She has a husband.
I wasn't doing anything other than asking the lady to dance.
Let me go over here to Jerry. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello, Phil.
Yes, sir.
I'm driving across the Pennsylvania Turnpike, and I'm on my way home from work, and I heard this maniac that you have on your show, and I got absolutely sick to my stomach.
Wait a second,
to hear
sir.
This guy tell me that he's trying to take care of this guy's wife. All he wants to do is get in her pants.
He's a pervert, and he needs arrested,
and I hope everybody in the United States military hears this. And they come home and kick your ass.
You know, you little good son of a bitch.
You better wait till I ever find you, I'm coming to get you.
You have the 514 combat boot up your ass. I'm so scared of you, okay? Let me tell you something.
Yeah, you better come in, buddy. Every guy in Afghanistan is going to come home for you.
Tell you, Jerry, when you drop off that load of fertilizer, okay, I'll give you my address.
Yeah, you wait, buddy. Every guy in Afghanistan is coming for you.
Well, wait a minute. Let's calm down for a minute. Jerry, the point you're trying to make here, I guess, is that you're cutting in on another man's action. You're beating another man's time with his wife, Mr. Grover.
Well, you know, this guy, Jerry, is he still there?
No, he hung up.
What do you mean I'm beating his time with his wife? What I'm doing is I'm putting up a rain gutter that he didn't put up.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Larry Grover joins me. He is with Conservatives of Kern County. He also is active helping, at least in one instance, a family member of a man stationed in Iraq or in Afghanistan. Correct, Larry?
Yes, he's with the United States Army at Paul D'Amato with the U.S. I don't know his unit, but he's with the Army Reserve, was called up last month and will be in Afghanistan for 9 months if he survives. That's all I'm saying.
And well, you're talking to his wife, who lives next door to you. You're helping out, which is great. But you're saying to this woman, oh, you know, he may not come back. You're asking her to dance. Are you trying to pick up on this man's wife?
No, sir, I most certainly am not. But what? No, I am not. Now, will you answer me this question? What if he doesn't come back? Shouldn't I at least get myself in line? That's all I'm saying.
Well, you're mentioning to her that he may not come back. I think it's demoralizing.
Well, I fixed things at their home without Jennifer even. One morning I put a ladder up to the bathroom window and I began to repaint the frame. And this was out of the goodness of my heart for a possible war widow. Now, if that isn't going to the limit for the red, white, and blue, I don't know what it is.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Reverend, go ahead. You're right now, as I understand it, Reverend, you're a chaplain with the United States military.
I am currently serving with families that are trying to keep people like Larry from screwing up our soldiers' lives.
Wait a minute. How am I screwing up the life of a soldier by helping put up a rain gutter that he
this
promised?
This woman will be having access to email and telephones, and she will call her husband and tell him about you, and then he's getting concerned about what's going on at home.
No, I'm
in the process of counseling three families right now of soldiers having to deal with this stuff.
Well, what is he to be concerned about? I'm taking care of... I'm doing stuff you should have done.
You are not just taking care of the house. You're trying to hit on the woman. And you've admitted that. You want to be in line.
Don't you understand, Reverend?
Now, let's get honest.
No, I don't want to hit on her.
I'm in counseling, and I'm a professional at this. You want this woman.
Only if the soldier dies.
No, admit
this
woman, and therefore you should have nothing to do with her at this point in her life because she's in crisis.
Reverend, hold on. Pastor Rennick from Joyful Union is on the line from Bellflower. Pastor Rennick, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm listening to this young man who was on your program. I have to agree with the Reverend who was on the line with you. What you are doing is you're poisoning a situation.
Reverend, I am not...
You listen to me. You are poisoning the situation. You are poisoning. You are not helping. You are poisoning.
He is.
And
poisoning the situation.
And by throwing a poison in there, what you do is you make that home dysfunctional. You don't make that home better.
What needs
that
to be
every
done,
kind of man that ever would do that to a woman that I knew, I'd cut his gut.
All right, I had to hang up on him. Go ahead, Reverend.
What needs to be done is this man, if he cares about this woman, needs to step back and not involve himself in anything personal.
Fair enough. But what about the L.A. Times and all of these other things that I was requesting?
Listen. In Afghanistan, we've had one person killed in the last 3 weeks. Of the people that have gone to Afghanistan, the percentage of
people coming
home...
Are you talking about Mr. Dillman?
That's exactly right.
Pat Tillman, not Dillman. Tillman.
Yes, sir.
Tillman. Of the percentage of people coming home, you're talking about 99-plus.
That's right.
The percentage.
Yeah, in Afghanistan,
And the point that we're dealing
Hold
with is this guy's putting himself in a position to take advantage.
You cut me off.
Yes, I cut you off. You used a word that I don't want used on the air.
What did I say, Conan?
All right. Reverend, thank you.
Hey, and, God bless you for supporting the troops.
Thank you, sir.
Do what you can to make sure the people understand our troops are doing good work.
Yes.
And the people of those countries appreciate us.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
And I understand that as well, Reverend. I'm just, why don't I get any recognition?
I'll tell you what.
I was a survivor for 3 weeks because I went over to...
I work with family support people all the time.
Yeah.
We do a ton of work here in the home station that is not recognized, and it's not important that it's recognized. What we need to do is support the troops.
I got another Shirley Temple. I'm sorry?
It's not
all
important
right.
that we get recognized.
I
What's
get
important
on.
Is
you
that we recognize.
On me.
Hold on. Why is this guy still back on?
You keep hanging up on me because I use the word gonad.
All right. Thank you very much, Reverend. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't understand why it is that I cannot. All she has to do is give me a little hug. All she has to do is show me that there's a chance, that there's a chance if her husband gets, say, machine gunned by the Al-Qaeda, that there's a chance that she and me maybe, because I could really go for her, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man, dude, you're all, yes.
I will not be hung up on just because I use the word balls.
Here is Sandra. Go ahead, Sandra. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Man, psycho night. Go ahead, Sandra.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'd first like to tell that this person on the other end, that he is a coward. And
a coward?
He's not a man. And if he's a real man, he'd leave this woman alone. He would quit using underlying things to get to her.
What am I doing?
He is not. He does not respect her. He doesn't care about doing her working around her house. He's trying to get to her. And
well,
he wants recognition. He needs to pray to God. God will recognize him.
Can I ask you a question? How many lawns have you mowed for a war widow?
This man's wife.
How many lawns have you mowed for a war widow, Sandra? None? That's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. Got you on that one.
Oh, you don't know. You don't think.
Got you on that one. Oh, I'm willing to put down good money that you haven't mowed one lawn for a war widow.
What do you mean, war widow? The woman's got a husband who's alive in Afghanistan. I wish you'd quit talking about war widow.
Oh, come
on. You want this woman's wife not to, you want this woman's husband not to come back alive so you can
not
move right in, on in on
I
this.
Want him to come back alive.
No, you don't.
Yes,
now, you're
I do.
You're trying to brainwash this woman to thinking she'll never see her husband again, and you're the one to fix everything in her house, and you're the one to put everything back together in her house right
but
now.
But you haven't answered
her
my question.
Husband's not dead.
How many rain gutters have you put up for a war widow?
Your question does not deserve answer.
Oh, because the answer is I haven't done a thing, Larry. I'm here criticizing you, but me, I sit at home, flip on The Price is Right, watch Jeopardy, all of the things that you do, go out in the back, take a look
you
at the yard
the
and talk
alone.
About how small it looks
you need
to
with back
the leaves
out
in
of
it.
Her life. She has a husband.
And
you need to go find you a woman.
I think you need to go put a rain gutter up.
Find you a woman.
The day you go over to a man's
you
home whose wife is serving in the Middle East and bake him a cherry
woman.
Pie, then you come
Get
talk to me.
Get out there and date.
All right.
Get out there and
Why
date.
Why aren't you dating, Larry?
Because there are very few women of quality to meet these days. I'm a
Because you don't think much of women.
Let me tell you something.
I can always tell that.
I'm a catch.
You have a low respect for women.
No, I have a very high regard for women, but I'm a catch. I have a lot to offer a woman, and I will not throw my pearls before the swine, which the Bible tells us.
You know, you don't know much about the Bible, it doesn't sound like.
Well, ma'am, at least I know about charity. And
you're
I
messing
certainly,
with another man's wife.
Oh,
God didn't say
all you do is call all the talk radio
wife.
Programs and you go on and on about your Bible. You're really
No, you're the
me.
One that brought the Bible up. You're the one
me,
talking ain't. About religion.
All right, I don't know what's going on here.
What's going on is... Hold on for a minute.
Phil, this is... Hi, this is Cynthia.
Hi, how are you, Ms. Grover?
I'm good. I want to go home to see Everybody Loves Raymond, and Larry won't take me with him, so I don't know.
On the phone with the talk radio host.
I want to see Everyone Loves Raymond.
All right, where are you right now?
We're in a bar. Can you believe that? And he's talking to you as if, you know, he's a big man.
Give me the phone, Mother. Anyway, Sandra.
Yes.
Are you married?
Will you
yes.
shut up?
Sorry. I really want to go home.
Mother,
all right, okay, Larry, if you take your mother home.
One more gimlet, we're out of here. I swear to God. I swear to God.
A man reached under my skirt.
All right. Sandra, thank you very much.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome,
I hope
ma'am.
This guy grows up. Between now and
well,
tonight.
Well, when you mow a lawn of a war widow or bake them a cherry pie, you give me a...
I wore my... I,
why don't you just give
I
it a rest?
I mow my own lawn. I don't have to have a man mow my lawn.
Yeah, you...
And I fix
If
my
I
own
wasn't a little
together.
Tipsy from these gifts.
And I fix things
right.
around my house. I'm my own handyman.
Thank you, Sandra. Here's Lisa on the Phil Henry Show. Lisa, go ahead. You're on with Larry Grover.
Hi. Larry, I just wanted to say a couple things.
His mother's here, too.
And we're talking
First
to Cynthia
all,
Grover, yeah.
Okay, first of all, I understand, and it's very understandable, I think, for everybody, that when you do something, usually you want to be recognized for it. But have you ever heard of the universal law of reciprocity?
I'm not familiar with that's a state law?
No. Usually what it means is when you do something for somebody and you expect something in return, and to me that's what it sounds like you're doing.
Oh,
you're not giving from the heart. And usually if you're doing something to help somebody and it's genuine, it's from the heart and you don't expect something in return.
Hold on for a minute, Lisa. What did you say, Ms. Grover?
I wanted to say to Larry, this girl is lovely. Why don't you ask her out?
Are you married or available?
No, actually, I'd really like to stick with the subject right now because I'm not interested in that way whatsoever.
Well, I certainly understand that. The reason why I do what I do is I want to help out our war families. But but in the off chance that he is machine gunned, I want to position myself.
Right. You know, can I just explain?
I understand.
Oh, I understand, but what I'm saying is, as a woman...
I don't want to ask her out, Mother.
That's one of the reasons I don't let certain people do things for me, because I don't want them to expect something like you're expecting from Cynthia in return.
I don't expect anything from... No, it's Jennifer is her name. Cynthia's my mother.
I'm sorry, Jennifer. Yeah, what I'm hearing you say, though, is me. When you talk about calling the radio stations and the TV stations, you're mentioning me. Why aren't they putting me on? But let me ask you this. How many of the soldiers that haven't died are calling the station saying, why aren't they talking about me?
I'm not familiar with who you're speaking about, but I would say, of the soldiers that have died, how would they call?
No, the ones that haven't died. What I'm saying is,
She said, of the soldiers that haven't died, why don't they call up and say...
they get news coverage. Every day they talk about them. But when I go over and repair this woman's... when I put in a new master lock on her garage, no one says anything about me.
Exactly. Can I just stop you right there?
Can I ask the lady, do you make chili?
You're saying me, and what you should be saying is I want to encourage others to do things to help people... But you're pulling it into yourself, and you want the recognition for you.
And Phil, I wanted to say something to this lady.
Larry, what is going on?
She always does this. She always does this. Every time I meet a girl, I like.
This guy sounds really psychotic, actually.
He's
actually the kind of guy that would scare me, that he would come in, like, he's capable of something violent.
Lisa,
and that,
he is a really good boy.
Oh, my God. Is he doing that in the bar?
He does. He's clowning.
Clowning?
No, honey, this isn't clowning. If you're his mom, he's got serious psychological problems that need to be addressed. And I would warn Jennifer. I would somehow get
word to that girl.
Get word to that girl, because I wouldn't be surprised if he's capable of a violent crime. And I'm just really scared.
I just wanted my son to let you know how good he is at Atari. He's a lot of fun.
Is this for real? Are you for real?
Can you
I'm
believe
really
this?
I'm wondering if the two of you are for real.
I'm wondering that too. I'd like to find
out
where they are.
Because this is almost too.
I want
and
to
the story has changed several times through the whole course of this. Where first it was about getting people together
to help the troops. Yeah,
and it has changed, and then it was about me getting recognition. Me, and then it changed again. And now he's screaming.
All right,
and you're calm.
This guy's a psycho case, man.
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, Larry's clowning. He always acts like that just before when he's interested in a woman.
When he's interested in a woman, get that guy on some Thorazine real fast.
Oh, great!
I think the number one thing is whoever knows who he is or who this woman is needs to get word for her.
All right, listen,
but not let him in his house alone.
Thank you very much for
allowing the call.
Lisa, are you busy for lunch after church on Sunday?
She hung up! Thanks.
Oh, man.
What?
Get out of here, you Bobby Dooley sounding chick. Okay, there's Larry. He's doing his good deeds, man. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will continue in a moment.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry. Drug addict. The Phil Henry Show is back.
In all the years we've been doing Larry Grover, I don't think I've ever heard him that psychotic, and he really scared that caller. And if she's listening, let me just say, be thankful that he's not running around in your head as he is in mine. This is the week, by the way, the Phil Henry Show finds out whether or not we will have an animated show. As you know, last year we had a pilot for NBC. This year we have an animated pilot for Fox. And we'll find out this week. And as I said last year, you have to understand, getting a pilot is one thing. Having it made into a TV show to become on the schedule, as it were, in TV Guide, as it were, that's a whole other thing. And as I said last year, the odds are against it. Okay, so I just want you to know that it's likely we won't get picked up. I'm not saying that Fox doesn't like us. I haven't heard one way or the other, but I'm just telling you it's a real long shot anytime any pilot gets picked up. Having said that, when I say picked up, I mean made into a regular TV series. Having said all of that, it's been a lot of fun, and I worked with two very funny men in Phil Lord and Chris Miller, and one really talented, a guy that really knows television, Steve Levitan. And I guess if there's three guys that know how to get a TV show made, these guys do, so we'll see. We'll see. But it's been a ton of fun doing. And again, I got to mention the guys that were on the show with us, if I can remember everybody's name right now. Oh, God, I think I forgot somebody's last name.
Amy, Sarah.
Amy and Sarah and Neil and Nat. But I forget Neil's last name. He's the big, tall guy on Scrubs. Neil... Ah, you bastard, Mr. Henry. On the tip of your tongue, and you ruin everything. Well, there's Nat Faxon, Sarah Silverman, Amy Yazbek, Adam Carolla, was really funny, and Neil, who's a hysterically funny guy. He plays one of the little kids, and he's like, Neil himself is like 6'5". What's Neil's last name? On Scrubs. Anybody on IMDb?
Neil Flynn.
Neil Flynn. I knew it was Irish. I was going to say Neil Myers, but he was a talk show host. Neil Flynn. Funny guy. What a great time working with those guys. All right, 1-800-449-8686. So that was Larry. Coming up on the program, we've got Vernon Dozier flashbacks, Dean Wheeler, who's a psycho, how to read a news story, and that Iraqi prisoner brew. Isn't that just horrible what they did to those poor men? We're going to talk about that on the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show.
So we'll talk about these pictures of the Iraqi prisoners that everybody thinks is the second coming of the atrocities at Auschwitz. It's kind of funny. I'm sorry, it's funny. It's making me giggle just a little bit listening to people talking about this like it's just, oh my Lord, you'd think a bunch of civilians have been machine gunned into a ditch. Anyway, I will tell you that we spent Saturday evening, just the little lady and myself, over at Joanna Fina's, our favorite Mexican restaurant, and I'm going to tell you, I want to have a tequila tasting. I want to have a Phil Henry Show listener tequila tasting. The money can go to my friend's place. What do you think of this? We charge $20, you come in, we have a variety of different tequilas, all the money goes to my friend's place, we have it over at Joanna Fina's, and if you want to buy some food, they got such great food there. And I know people think I'm doing some cheap plug for these guys. They don't pay me for diddly, man. I go over there because I like their food. And they got... Do you know that when you eat Mexican food... I don't know if anybody knows this or not. Mexican food is not just burritos and tacos. It's There's garlic soup. There's a thing called albondigas, which is a kind of a meatball soup that's just out of this world. They have a variety. If you ever have chili rellenos, you know, a real chili relleno is not that slop you see served in a lot of restaurants. It's a stuffed chili is what it is. And it ordinarily doesn't have sauce on it. It's just a big stuffed chili with potatoes and meat. They have that. Their margaritas kill. And they've got a great tequila menu there. So I started thinking maybe we could have a tequila tasting. But then knowing this audience, how cheap they are. No, I'm kidding. But I don't even know. I'm not familiar with you guys in that respect. A tequila tasting, though, would be just a very, you know, take one sip, move on to another bottle, take another sip, move on to another bottle, take another sip. And by the time you get to the end of the line, we've got cots there for you to lay down on. You can just lay down on a cot and you'll be okay. Boy, the food over there. Woohoo! Man. And so I think that's a way, because I want to have another event for the guys at my friend's place to raise a little jack. We should do some more personal appearances with the CDs. We should do some more signings. There's a lot of stuff that I should do. I should lose weight. I should lose more weight than I'm losing. I should double up my Cortislim and lose, you know, like even more inches off the old gut. I've lost to date, by the way, on Cortislim, 4 inches off my waist. I'm down to a 38-inch pair of pants, and that's in 2 months. And I haven't gotten on a scale, and I'm not interested in getting on a scale. I'm not going to do that. I ain't playing that paranoid, neurotic, getting on the scale to make sure that the diet's working thing. No, 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 no. And last night I made hamburgers for the kids, and I put blue cheese in the burgers. Now, I don't know about you, but I love the barbecue. And I got a great barbecue. I got a gas grill. And it's a 40-inch grill. It's a big son of a gun. I grill everything on that. I got a rotisserie. I've done Thanksgiving turkeys on the rotisserie, or I'll go out and I'll get one of those big turkey breasts you can buy, and I rotisserie two of those. Or I just throw the steaks on there, throw on sometimes this, you know, those hot sausages you can buy, because my father-in-law is a German-American, and he's got that thing for... You know those things that brats? Get out of here with that. Oh, God, I hate those. It's because it's made out of veal. And all I can think about is like eating baby flesh or something. It's just too bland and baby-like. I feel like a cannibal when I eat that. I think I'm eating human flesh when I eat brats. But he's into this stuff, so he brings that stuff over. Anyway, last night I said to the kids, because they're always, what do we have for dinner? They always say it like they starve to death. They always say it as if there's never anything to eat. You ever seen a kid stand in front of a refrigerator with the door open? There's nothing to eat. You're looking at a refrigerator that's full of food, man. What do you mean there's nothing to eat? Then they come back 3 minutes later and look in there again. What, do you think something's going to appear that wasn't there before? I'm hungry. You ever seen a kid with low blood sugar? They'll cry. They'll cry and they're angry. The thing about what, you'll find this out, Mark, when your kid gets old enough, don't ever, ever let the kid, you know, don't go out in public too long where they don't have food. Because if they don't have food, their blood sugar gets low, and then they turn into screaming, midget, serial murderers. That if they had like a blade, man, they would, if they had a meat cleaver, they'd just bury it in the back of your head. So... You know, okay, I'm making hamburgers. Okay, yay, all right, great. And I'm going to make my special blue cheeseburger. No! All right, then I'll, you know, what I do is I crumble the blue cheese up and stick it in the middle of the patty, and then I make the patty. So you got a nice little layer of blue cheese in the middle of it. You ever had that, Janice? This is some of our American cuisine, Janice, my little Canadian sister. Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, my God. You put some of that blue cheese in between two pieces of, and what you got to get is that sirloin meat. You don't want to get any of that fat crap, but you know, it costs a little more. So I make that, and, you know, I'm making these really good burgers, and everybody's crying and complaining about that. Because, again, don't ever go outside the box with food when it comes to a kid. If you put blue cheese in a hamburger, you might as well be telling them they're eating monkey brain soup. It's just too bizarre for words. I remember when I had to pay the kids $100, I said, I'll put $100 into your savings account if you'll eat a Brussels sprout. You should have seen that night. Because I said to the two youngest ones, I said, look, I will put $100 into each of your... One of them took me up on it, and the other one couldn't do it. The other one couldn't, even for $100, they couldn't bring themselves to eat one lousy Brussels sprout, which I told him is just like a little tiny head of lettuce, isn't it? And but you know a Brussels sprout has a real tangy, you know, it's got a pretty tough flavor to it. And, you know, immediately my daughter, it tastes like dew. And she's, you know, and you ever looked at a kid's plate after they finished eating? The food is like half gnawed on. And it's half masticated, and the rest is sort of saliva-ridden, and they play with it. And another thing you need to do, Mark, make a note. You have to get a large rubber mat for wherever he eats. Put a big mat that you can hose off in the backyard with a fire hose, because they leave half the meal on the floor. Yeah, so you get the plate. I go, what is the, you know, you got to eat. And, of course, my daughter, this is it. You make hamburgers, you got French fries, I got coleslaw, I had potato salad, I had, what else did I make? Oh, baked beans. We had a whole thing. And what has she got? One fry and, like, a bun. Where's the hamburger? I don't want it. It has blue cheese in it. So she's eating buns and fries. It's like a freak carbohydrate freak. And the other thing that I resent violently is the fact that everything that you buy has sugar in it, and I don't care what it is you want to talk about. Why, for instance, are baked beans flavored with maple syrup or with brown sugar? What's that about? I can't stand that. I think it makes it taste worse. Why is the spaghetti sauce got sugar in it? Why is it every cereal's got sugar in it? Why does every bloody thing got, why does cheese have sugar in it? Why? Because the sugar manufacturers of America have cut a deal with the food processors and manufacturers that's a sweetheart deal from heaven. Every single food's got sugar in it. As a result, kids notice that. If you feed them anything that doesn't have that comforting taste of sugar, that nice, relaxing, comforting, just that injection of morphine, the sugar heroin, they reject it out of hand. Hey, look at the sugar free. Oh, I made the mistake of telling you it was sugar free. And even the stuff that's sugar free has got fructose syrup, it's got high corn syrup, it's got anything that ends with os, dextrose, fructose, finctose, you know, heroin toast, all of that stuff is sugar, man. So anyway, I went out of my way, made all of that nice blue cheeseburgers last night, and the kids, they wanted to eat just the regular ones with the yellow cheese on it. So I ate the rest myself today. And I'm still losing inches off my gut. Thanks to Quarter Slim. All right, we got a How to Read a News story coming up, and this is going to be fascinating. This How to Read a News story is, for me, I don't know. I just find it to be an interesting story on how news is reported, although I don't know which one it is. I was digging through the pile to find out which one it is, but naturally there's nothing in here that says
the Cracker Barrel.
How to Read a News Story. Which one is it, Janice?
The Cracker Barrel Restaurant.
Oh, the Cracker Barrel. There it is. How to Read the Cracker Barrel Restaurant. And it's a story of lawsuits. And what you guys are never told about lawsuits, and you really have to understand something when it comes to lawsuits. You have to understand how they're reported in the news, and you have to understand what's really being said when it comes to culpability in a lawsuit, even if there's a payout. The other thing we will talk about are the Iraqi prisoners and the showing of the military dead, which is just, boy, I'll tell you, it must be a slow, slow news period, because when they take a real dull story like that Iraqi prisoner story, or when they take a story that really should have had a shelf life of about 3 days and just continue to beat hell out of it, man, there's nothing to report. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now we're going to do a Monday review of The Sopranos last night. In The Sopranos last night, we find that Johnny Sachs has basically threatened Tony, and Tony has told us why he's got anxiety attacks, and nobody got whacked, but, you know, I can always hope. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up on the show, we have How to Read a News Story. What does it mean when they say a lawsuit is settled anyway? Well, what is it, you know? You know, all these stories about, well, they've settled out of court. Now, that must mean they were guilty. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Also, a Vernon Dozier flashback. Mr. Dozier is a gas station owner who hates his customers for buying gas that funds terrorism. The money he makes is going to help his sick mom. He takes the money, but he helps his sick mom, so he's not culpable. All you guys are. Or something like that. Now, these pictures of the Iraqis that were abused by American military police in Iraq have been making the rounds on TV, and they have been the subject of a great many pious and serious-minded commentaries, one of which I read today in a local newspaper, and I wanted to laugh. In fact, I had a mouthful of, I forget what it was, something my wife buys, like fiber oats or something, and I spit it across the kitchen, you know, like I didn't like it, which I didn't, but at that moment it really wasn't the cereal so much as this guy writing about how the reason why those Iraqis were abused by those MPs is because those MPs come from a generation of American kids raised on Jackass and Quentin Tarantino movies. And he found it just so demoralizing and so utterly evil. And what has happened to our country that this kind of cavalier treatment of human beings could be taking place by American soldiers. And I read this, and I read it again, and I remember thinking, I guess he doesn't know anything really about anything. I guess he hasn't read any history. He doesn't realize that soldiers in combat or in a war zone with their adrenaline going often do things that perhaps they shouldn't. So it's not a new thing. You understand that American soldiers mistreating captives and surrendering soldiers is not new. It's been going on since we've had an army. And they're punished for it. They're punished for it, and we move on. And then they're punished for it if they do it again, and we move on. And that's what we do, because we're civilized people, and we operate under the rule of law, and we will not abide soldiers in our military that break the law. But they're going to break the law. And to look at these soldiers, who, frankly, while it was probably very humiliating, there were bags over their heads, and all the stuff was pixelated out. You couldn't see what they were doing. As a matter of fact, the individuals that found the pictures to be offensive were probably upset with the fact that most of them were edited or blurred, so they had to go and explain to you what was in each picture. And I'm wondering, well, what's the point of that? I mean, the pictures were already censored, and so now you're telling us what was in the pictures. So what you're telling me is that's what these soldiers made these men do, which was, frankly, very humiliating acts of simulating sex. Now, you may not want to know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If you saw a movie, as a matter of fact, if you saw that movie Saving Private Ryan, they articulated in the film, and it did happen, American GIs gunned down surrendering Germans at Normandy and other places. And that is a technical violation of the Geneva Convention and the way you treat a surrendering prisoner. You don't shoot him. We did it. We did it in World War II. All right? We beat up surrendering prisoners. All of these things, in other words, folks, have been done and done again. And if you're worried about some female MP smoking a cigarette, pointing at a guy's thing and laughing as being some horrific example of American war crimes, man, you are really digging. You're really digging. Of all the countries involved, say, in World War II, Canada, Britain, Russia, the United States was hardest on its own soldiers. In World War II, the death penalty was meted out for any soldier found guilty of rape. That means any American soldier raping a civilian in Europe during the invasion and as we moved across Europe was put to death. Those are the orders of General Eisenhower. And you want to know something? We still put to death 40 American GIs for rape in World War II. Even with a death penalty. But the fact is, they did it. American soldiers were guilty in World War II of pilfering from private homes. They stole things. They stole things. And they'll tell you, they'll admit to you, if the people were nice to us, maybe we left the stuff. If they weren't nice to us, hey, we ripped them off. They took china. They took sheets. They took towels. They took food. Now, you may consider that to be a horrible, horrible war crime along the lines of the Germans opening up concentration camps. I personally don't. I do know, however, it's a violation of the military code of conduct, and they should be, those men, I suppose, should be charged. I'd love to see the guy that wants to arrest some guy on Normandy Beach shooting down a German with his hands up in the air. Go ahead, go and arrest that guy.
Oh, what you just did was bad. Why, I have to place you under arrest.
How the hell do you do that? And let's not even mention what the Russians did as they invaded Germany. They raped every female they found. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Russian army, when it hit the German borders, and all the way to Berlin, raped every female, I said. Notice I didn't say woman. They raped every female. That's the kind of discipline they had in their army. Now, we also know about the Iraqi army and what they do. If you'd like an example of that, go to my website. We have a big banner in the middle of my website that says, and by the way, thank you, Drudge Report, for the picture. It says what the Iraqis did to our soldiers. Would you like to see those? Or is that something that's going to kind of undercut a few arguments out there? Now, these guys are being charged. They have been reprimanded in two cases. I think they have been reassigned. They've had the harshest possible reprimand. No, it doesn't sound like anybody's going to do any jail time because there wasn't any beating. Nobody was being electrocuted. Nobody was being kicked in the head. Nobody was being punched. People had bags over their heads. They were being humiliated. So as far as I've read today, anyway, the military is going to go through a very serious series of reprimands and you know, they'll process these people. And if they find out that anything more serious happened, then those individuals will be brought to justice. And that's the way it happens in the United States military, as opposed to the Iraqi military, for instance, where they give you a medal if you do stuff like that. You probably got medals in the Russian army if you raped a woman. You got medals in the German army if you gunned down civilians. You get medals in the Middle East in most of those armies if you abuse or otherwise torture a prisoner. Only the United States Army will put you up on charges if you do something like that. And that's the way it should be. Okay? So it's not the jackass culture, and it isn't Quentin Tarantino movies. It's the nature of the adrenaline that's pumping through soldiers at war in a combat zone. And it's been going on for decades, if not centuries. So calm down, okay, pal? Just calm down. Get a grip on something other than your pencil. And when I say pencil, I do mean pencil. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Vernon Dozier coming up, the gas station owner who doesn't like his customers. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Imagine yourself owning a gas station in the middle of all of this madness in the Middle East. Imagine making money on the oil that is imported from the Middle East because we need to import it from the Middle East. We have no choice. Even people who are against the wars in Iraq and our political involvement in that part of the country can't deny the fact that we need that oil. Otherwise, the country comes to a screeching halt. And that's why our gasoline station attendant here, Vernon Dozier, hates the people that buys his gasoline. They buy his gasoline and he hates them. And why is that? Because they're funding terrorism, in his opinion. However, the money he makes on the sale of it goes to help his mother and his retarded brother that lives with him. So he's not blaming himself.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm just wondering, you said you didn't want to bring your mom into the conversation, but every 2 minutes you keep bringing her into it. Why is that?
Why are you bringing her into it?
Because every 2 minutes you keep bringing her into it.
Let me
you sell cigarettes at your store, do you not?
I beg your pardon?
You sell cigarettes at your convenience store, do you not?
In the snack shop, of course I do.
Okay, so you, in a sense, killed your own mom.
No, I didn't, because she didn't buy any cigarettes in my store.
I think you're an arrogant, bullheaded
sir,
pig.
Can I say something? This is the type of guy...
you kill your mom,
you know, sir,
and you don't want to take responsibility for it. You're full of crap.
Sir, you're the kind of guy that'd come into my gas station, make my retarded brother come out and hunt for nails in his tire. There's my
brother.
Your
retarded brother, what'd you do to your... You must have hit him in the head with one of those beer bottles or something.
My brother sits there peacefully in the lube bay, wiping his the slot.
Well, I'm sorry about your brother, but you put your mom in the hospital by selling cigarettes in your kitchen.
Have you ever had to look at your brother sitting wiping the slobber from his chin with an oil rag?
I'd help my brother wipe the slobber off his chin with a oil rag if I had a retarded brother. Instead of being on here making a fool of myself, saying that everybody else is responsible for this war over in Iraq, will you put
wait a second, are you... Okay, let's say I am responsible. Give my mother lung cancer. Don't you then feel you're responsible for the terrorists?
No, because
you're bullheaded.
I'm not responsible.
Yeah, you are. You buy gasoline, so you're bullheaded too.
I don't have a license. How can I buy gasoline if I don't drive?
Mr. Ender, you didn't inform me that this kid...
I don't know how old he is. How old are you, John?
I'm 23.
And you don't have a license?
Not anymore. I lost it.
Oh, so you're a drinker?
I used to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You drink. Okay.
I used to drink.
All right, so then I apologize to you. I didn't know that you didn't drive, all right?
Wait a minute. The guy's a drinker. He's a drunk driver.
I've got no problem with a man like that. None at all.
Yes, well, I was a drunk driver, and yes, that's the reason I lost my license.
Did you kill anybody, sir?
God.
Did you kill anybody? You didn't kill anyone?
Well,
thank
I don't
God
care.
I got pulled over and arrested before
well,
I
man's allowed, to, man's allowed to take a drink, as far as I'm concerned.
But wait just a minute. You said...
Don't get down on this guy because he drinks. Anyway, John, you're still a piece of crap, but...
I'm still a piece of crap.
Yeah, you are.
You're killing your own mom.
I ain't killing my mother.
A piece of crap?
Yeah.
All right, listen, John, thank you very much, and I hope you get your license back, man. Watch that drinking and driving, okay?
You're down on this guy for drinking and driving again.
You think people ought to drink and drive?
Yes, especially if they're me. For 26 years, my brother's job has been to yell ding-ding when a car pulls up.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Jeffrey takes old hubcaps and places them on his head and says he's a flying saucer, he's a man from space, that kind of deal. You know, he has fun. And when the cars come in, I say, I'll tell you what, Jeffrey, I'll pull the rubber strip back in. I pull in the rubber sensor strip, and I say, you yell ding-ding when a car comes in. So for 26 years, and the man is now... And Jeffrey's my brother, okay? He's only about 2 years younger than me, so the man's now 53 years of age, and he sits in a folding chair that we bought over here at the at Kmart. And when cars pull in, he goes, ding, ding. And I go, all right, Jeffrey, thanks a lot. Here comes another car. I've lived with this freak show for years.
How about blaming your mother and your brother?
I will never blame my mother and my brother. My mother is a beautiful woman. Spitting up blood, yeah. Even spitting up blood, she's beautiful. And my brother, God bless him. And that other guy was wrong. I do help wipe the slobber off of his chin. No, it isn't their fault. It's the fault of that two-bit bastard that's coming in by the gasoline. A lot of time...
Jeffrey, burn it time, Franks and Beans.
Hold on for a minute, Phil.
What's that? It's dinner time, Franks and Beans.
I gotta have dinner now, Phil.
Is that Jeffrey?
Yes, it is. It's Jeffrey. Yeah, say hello to Mr. Henry.
Franks and Beans.
All right, he just said hello to you. He's...
So he just says, he calls you for dinner and...
And he sits in a chair, and I got it over here at the Walmart. You know, they have those folding stadium chairs you can get in this place and keep it cooler. But I got it for him so he can sit in the lube bay, and, you know, for kicks, I'll let him sit on a lube rack. We just got done doing a front-end job, so I let him ride up and down on that, you know.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much. Considering your plight in life, I guess I can understand your anger. I just would hope that you'd be a little bit... easier going on people. They're buying gasoline, yes. The money does go to fund terrorists, yes. But maybe we'll learn and maybe we'll...
Yeah, maybe. And maybe Jeffrey's going to become... maybe Jeffrey's line is Pauling, too. Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah. Maybe my brother is going to turn into Dr. Jonas Salk. Yeah, I got a brother that takes an oil pan, puts it on his head, and you know, sings the theme from The Wizard of Oz, and you think this guy's going to turn into some brain surgeon? No, I don't think so.
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy Gold.
I never said that his brother was going to turn into a brain surgeon. The guy... Anyway, there's Vernon Dozier. Real classic material there from Friday Night Show, where he is talking about his... Is talking about his brother. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The Sopranos last night. We haven't talked about The Sopranos since they have returned to the air. And we haven't for a number of reasons. I haven't thought about talking about it. There have been other things I wanted to talk about. And I'm not, like, I'm hooked on the show, but I don't believe in beating people over the head with my personal TV addictions. However, The Sopranos is great television, and that's all there is to it. Everybody knows it. Everyone admires it. Nobody else wants to do it, other than HBO. What is that about, exactly? So you look at a show like Sopranos, it's fantastic in every way, shape, and form, And no one has the guts to do anything even approaching that, anything that good. And I don't give a crap what you're talking about. ER, 24, I don't care. CSI crime scene, CSI Miami, CSI Detroit, CSI crime scene once removed. How many shows are they going to start doing? How many they got now with CSI? CSI Philly, CSI Orlando?
There's just two.
They're going to have CSI Solvang one of these days.
Well, you lousy, all you lousy Scandinavian punks.
It's just a great deal, Sopranos. Anyway, last night's show, I'm going to tell you something right now, for those of you who watch the show. Meadow, Tony's daughter, takes after her old man. She's an emotional basket case. She's not too bright when it comes to the family business because she doesn't get that Vito dude that was having sex with another guy in a parked car. Oh, he's married. He'd never do that. She doesn't get a lot. And she has browbeaten that boyfriend of hers, that Finn kid, into marrying her, into becoming engaged. That poor kid doesn't know how to escape that family, and now he's stuck. So now he's got that sick, twisted Vito, that fat slob, who's coming on to him. He's got Meadow, who's screaming and crying because the kid said, I got to get out of here. I'm going back to California. So she screamed and cried to the point where he said, oh, let's get married. So now he's sucked in for good. He's a dead man. Now, you want to know who the other person the show is about? It was about Carmella. The two of them being trapped. Carmella's trapped. Now she gets it. Probably for the very first time in her marriage, she gets what it was to be married to a mafia guy. She can't hire any lawyers because he's contaminated all of them. She's not going to get his money. Forget that. And he just comes and goes as he pleases in the home that she threw him out of. And that last scene where she's sort of looking out the window, she's feeling really, you know, sorry for herself and Tony after she hears about Meadow getting married. But that last scene where she's sort of looking at that fat pig floating in the pool, she knows she is in a world of hurt, man, that if she gets away from that guy, she will be getting away with nothing. Nothing. She'll never get nickel one. So Carmella is shot to hell, and that poor Finn kid, who got a job working at Tony's construction site with all those psycho bastards, that fat Vito and that Paulie, he says, hey, kid, go clean the dog crap from between the treads of my car. You know how that Paulie talks with the tongue out? Hey, kid, you didn't tell me you were Meadow's boyfriend, huh? Hey, take my niece out for a good time, huh, kid? Hey, he's giving him some money, and this kid is like, what are these people? And he watches that one guy bash the other guy in the face with a bottle because the guy made a joke. So that kid's shot. He's done. Unless he runs now. Like next episode, he should run. But he's not gonna because he's hooked into that psycho chick. He's one of those codependent guys. And that Carmella, she's done for, man. You know, you thought she was in control. She ain't in control of Diddly Squat. That guy's going to run her. He's going to take every nickel. Now, here's my theory of the week. Oh, by the way, all that stuff with Buscemi's character. What do you guys think of that character, Buscemi's character? Steve Buscemi plays Tony B., who went to prison some 18 years ago or something like that in a hijacking that went awry, and it was a hijacking that Tony himself was supposed to be a part of, but he didn't make it to the hijacking because, quote, a couple of black guys beat him up, end quote. Turns out he had a panic attack, passed out, and hit his head on the sidewalk. That's why he couldn't go. That's why his cousin went away. Now the cousin's out of prison. I can't make head or tail out of that character. I don't know what it is they want to do with that guy. One minute he wants to go straight. The next minute he wants to belong to the crew. One minute he's a nice guy. The next minute he's beating people over the head with 2x4s. And through it all, he's just really calm, cool, and collected. What's that? Did they really think that character out before they put that thing on? And by thing, I mean that Buscemi character. And then that Johnny Sachs, is that guy great or what? Boy, that guy's beauty. You get the feeling he'll kill anybody, anything, anytime, anywhere. So he's got a big problem with that Joey piece. Anyway, here's my theory. And then I'm done. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. Now, I'm sorry, because David Chase is really a gutsy guy, and the things that he writes and the way he throws a surprise into a show is just phenomenal. The night that Tony had that gun to Christopher's head, after Christopher shot up Tony's car because he thought Tony and Adriana were getting it on, he should have killed him that night. That would have been, but you can't, because the Christopher-Adriana relationship is so special. Here's my theory, and I'm telling you this is going to happen. Christopher and Adriana are going to go into witness protection. That's right. Maybe not this season, but then this is the last season, isn't it? It isn't? Every season is supposed to be the last season. They're going to go into witness protection. He is upset with his role. He is constantly resentful now of Tony. She's so in deep with the FBI, she'll never get out. She's got to run. You know that. What is she going to do? Spend the rest of her life being an FBI informer before or they're going to kill her? But I think that she and Christopher, she's going to go to him and say, look, let's get out of this life. And he'll be at a point when he's ready to do it, and they'll go into witness protection. Now, that's my theory. I could be wrong, but I'll put $100 on it. Anybody want to take me up? At least on my staff. I can't bet a listener. Janice, you want to take me up at $100? I say by next season. By the end of next season.
Now, I say he's gonna go 6 feet under. He's gonna
this season?
Yeah. No, not this season. No,
we're talking about Christopher will stay alive. Will be shot. He'll be killed.
But next season.
And then what'll happen to Adriana? She'll go into witness protection.
She'll have to.
I think that the best thing would be for that they would kill her. I would like to see her like put into a cement truck and just hell of a waste of a lot of good woman, though. So anyway, that is our Sopranos update.
This has been the Sopranos update.
We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And don't forget, our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD is available, The Death of Talk Radio, online at www.philhenryshow.com. By the way, did you read where Al Franken is dabbling? He may be running for the United States Senate from the state of Minnesota. Franken, you haven't even mastered the art of being a talk show host yet. What do you think? You think you're going to run up there and be a senator? Why don't you figure out how to do a talk show first? Funny man, very funny guy. You know, in my politics, most of my politics, I agree with the guy. Except in some very significant areas. But let me just tell you one thing. That Air America is going up in flames. And that, probably me talking about it has given it more publicity than it deserves. But it was made such a big splash, and it made such big news that, you know, one has to comment. And the comment is this. It smells like poo. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Time now for a segment on our show called How to Read a News Story. And we do these segments simply because you read this story and you just say to yourself, well, okay, I read it and the guy that wrote it is telling me exactly what happened and he doesn't have any agenda, or he's writing in order to tell me the truth. And that doesn't happen all the time. And in fact, most of the time, news stories are, it's human nature. You cannot possibly write an objective news story. It's impossible. Impossible. That's why the only way you get news is to, you know, you're going to have to go out and find it yourself, man. You're just going to have to make up your mind. I don't know what to tell you. Cracker Barrel. The U.S. Justice Department said Monday it settled a racial bias suit against Cracker Barrel Old Country Stores, a nationwide family restaurant chain. Now, it's not nationwide. It's in the South, so I wouldn't call that nationwide. There's no Cracker Barrels out west. I don't know how many are up north. I know there's a lot of them down south, as in Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. Cracker Barrel admits to implementing far-reaching changes in policies and practices to prevent racial discrimination. Now, the complaint alleged that Cracker Barrel allowed white servers to refuse to wait on black customers, segregated customer seating by race, and seated white customers before black customers who arrived earlier, among other things. They allege they violated the Civil Rights Act by engaging in a pattern of or practice of discrimination against black customers and prospective customers on the basis of their race or color. That's what the allegation is. The department said its investigation revealed evidence of such conduct in approximately 50 different Cracker Barrel restaurants. That's what they said their investigation revealed. And they've told us what their allegation is, and they've told us that they have reached a agreement. They have settled a racial bias suit. That means it didn't go to trial. It was settled. Now, let me explain, and I don't know that I have enough time, but I'm going to try. When you hear about a lawsuit being settled, there are many reasons for that lawsuit being settled. Least among them is the person who has been sued saying, oh my God, you've got such a great case. Oh, please God, don't take it to trial. Here, I'll pay it off just to get rid of it. That's the least. That's what most of us think, though, when we hear about a lawsuit getting settled. We think, oh, well, they settled it because they got their thing in a ringer, huh? No. Most of the time, the reason is this. Look it. You guys are going to have to go through a whole big thing proving all this crap. Well, we will. We'll go to trial. Yeah, you'll go to trial. Yeah, sure. Well, we could go to trial, too. But you want to know something? We do not need the bad publicity. We know how this thing's going to get written up. We know that everybody's going to assume we did all these things because the U.S. Justice Department's bringing the case. So what do you want for us to make this thing go away? Well, and then they settle out of court for some money. Nobody is admitting wrong, even though people say, yeah, that's what they say, but they really are wrong. No, nobody's admitted any wrong. They've agreed to change some of their policies. It doesn't mean that they had a systematic approach to discrimination and segregation. Okay? More on lawsuits. Why? Because I've been sued many times. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we'll have this hour Bobby Dooley talking about how girls that are kind of dumpy and plain shouldn't embarrass themselves by asking cute boys to the prom. One asked her son Seth, and it was traumatic for Seth. And Dean Wheeler will be with us to talk about his organization that assists illegal immigrants across the border, even when it's hot and when it's just so uncomfortable as they're risking their lives, and he gives them a place to stay, and he gives the women a nice dress to wear, and he gives them lipstick, and the next thing you know, he's got them meeting his friends. So that's Dean coming up on our show. By the way, Chris reminded me of a brilliant piece of dialogue between Christopher and Polly Walnuts. Polly Walnuts is the character in Sopranos with the silver hair, and he's always talking like this, kid. Hey, kid. You know, with the tongue out. Anyway, Christopher one day is complaining because he's taking a script writing class. He wants to write movies. And he says, there's no arc. There's no story arc. What am I going to do, Polly? I got no arc. And a story arc is really the journey of the story from the beginning to the middle to the end. That's what they call a story arc. He says to him, kid, look at me. I was born, spent some time in the army, went to prison. No arc. I got no arc, kid. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Just another example of what I was talking about. Some 9/11 detainees have filed a lawsuit against the city of New York. They allege that federal officials physically and mentally abused them while they were housed in a federal detention center in Brooklyn. These are two Muslim men, both of Pakistan, both 37. They contend in their lawsuit filed in federal court that their jailers at the Brooklyn Metropolitan Detention Center, commonly called the MDC, had them in solitary confinement, used excessive force, and conducted humiliating strip searches. Now, when you read further into the story, what you find out is they never really do detail the physical degradation. What they talk about, though, is that there were inhumane and degrading conditions experienced at the MDC by the Muslim men nabbed on immigration charges. They said they were called Muslim killers, Muslim bastard, and told no shoes for terrorists after requesting new footwear. Now, they did plead guilty to a variety of criminal charges, illegal possession of credit cards, so on and so forth. These guys are not archangels. They're criminals. But they were charging physical and emotional abuse. Now, you understand, folks, that this is where we are today. If someone calls you a name, you can sue them. See, what happened to the days when cops, if they were going to abuse a guy, man, they'd really abuse him. They'd soften your head up with a nightstick. Remember those New York cops that took the handle of that plunger and stuck it where the sun doesn't shine? I mean, that's abuse. But when a guy calls you a name, cops will call you a name, especially when they're interrogating you. So this is the horrific police brutality that we are experiencing. And we've got a generation of Americans, some of whom are so candy-ass, they're buying it as abuse. They're buying it as an utter seminal debasement of human beings, as just another example of why we shouldn't be doing whatever it is we're doing. These two clowns get called Muslim killer, and all of a sudden the Patriot Act, yep, there's an example of why it is unconstitutional. Two guys got called a name. And some MPs get a little stressed and take it out on some detainees by making them look dopey in some pictures. And these guys all of a sudden are the next, you know, they're in line to take over Heydrich's place with the SS. I mean, this is what we're dealing with now. And that's an excuse for us not to be in Iraq. That's the reason why we shouldn't be in Iraq. Now, I told you guys once, not too long ago, because it's kind of a staple, this baby boomer generation that I'm talking about, that I happen to be a member of, this is a generation that has contributed nothing to the world, nothing to this country. They've contributed children who need to be drugged, not children that are taking drugs voluntarily, mind you, their parents are drugging them. We got kids on tranquilizers and on antidepressants now at the age of 5. You like that? We got parents out there who are so anal that you look at them cross-eyed, you raise an eyebrow, you do anything that is the least bit untoward, and you're a child molester, or you're a racist, or you are a bigot, or you're unfit to teach, or you're unfit to be associated with your kid or with the family. If you say anything that is unusual, it's considered to be an insult. Unusual. You notice I said unusual? I didn't say it's not threatening. I didn't say it was violent. I didn't say that it was profane. I said if it's unusual, you're all of a sudden you're a threat. Now, this guy, this cartoonist who released a cartoon today basically saying that Pat Tillman was a fool. Now, on the one hand, I suppose people could argue, well, you got to respect the guy. At least he's saying what he thinks. Yeah, okay. Well, I don't have to respect him. I suppose he is saying what he thinks, whatever it is that he's saying, and whatever it is that he thinks. I don't have to respect him for it, but you're right. He's being honest. So ding, ding for him, right? Called Pat Tillman a fool because everybody that's against the war in Iraq and in Afghanistan, they know better. They're geniuses. Afghanistan, well, we shouldn't have attacked them because of Al-Qaeda because those guys came from Saudi Arabia. And they were backed by Saudi Arabian money. So why did we go into Afghanistan? It's another example of how Bush is an idiot. And terrorism, why Al-Qaeda, Saddam Hussein hates Al-Qaeda. Well, Saddam Hussein doesn't have any love lost with Al-Qaeda or bin Laden. It doesn't mean the guy doesn't like terrorism. As a matter of fact, Saddam Hussein was in love with terrorists. He paid them money. But that's that kind of simple-minded thinking that we were talking about where, you know, if it ain't Hitler and it's just Mussolini, why should we worry about him, right? Or if it ain't Mussolini and it's just Hitler, why are we worrying about him? Like the two guys got nothing to do with each other. So all these guys got this figured out, so a guy like Pat Tillman is a fool. We don't have anybody like Pat Tillman anymore. That's the problem. We have no men like this. We have, yes, the men and women that are serving in Iraq and they're serving in Afghanistan. Those are the run-of-the-mill volunteers in the United States military. But celebrities, people in the entertainment business making millions of dollars, actually signing up to serve their country, this doesn't happen anymore. Pat Tillman was singled out by the American public as almost like it was a refreshing throwback to a time when, you know, guys like Ted Williams flew fighter missions, and Clark Gable was a turret gunner, and I mean Jimmy Stewart flew bombing missions over Germany. I mean, there was a time when celebrities did that. It was an example to the people, right? Tillman did it, and even the people that say they honor him, in the next breath will tell you that the entire military operation over there, whether it's in Afghanistan or Iraq, is stupid, right? So, like, you can have it both ways. Well, you can't. You can't say that you honor Pat Tillman and you're proud of him and you think he was a great guy if you do not support what he did. Otherwise, it's just phony. It's hypocritical. So don't start talking about how you want to honor the soldiers by showing their bodies in caskets with flags draped over them, but you don't agree with what they were doing. You don't honor them at all. And like the people that called last Friday, some of the guys off the air said, if you want to honor the soldiers that are dead, go to a military cemetery. There, that's a great place. You don't honor them by sticking their pictures up on the front page of a newspaper. And in the meantime, we got a couple of ragheads that are filing suit. And I say raghead, by the way. Why did I say raghead? Because these two guys are criminals. They're enemies of of the society that I live in. Two guys from Pakistan running around with stolen credit cards and everything else. Okay, so why do they deserve respect? And these two guys have filed in a suit because somebody called them Muslim bastard, Muslim killer, and no shoes for terrorists. So now we're really getting twisted around because people are getting called names. And everything that I'm saying right now, man, I know with some people's going one ear and out the other. Just in one ear and out the other. So anyway. 1-800-449. You want police brutality? I could send you to any. How about the country these guys are from? Pakistan. What do you think they do with them over there? Are these guys kidding or what? I think you're a terrorist if you come here from a country where there is systematic police abuse. Then you come over here, you get arrested, someone calls your name, and you file a lawsuit. I think that automatically makes you a terrorist because you're just trying to screw with the system. You're just trying to bring the system down with your frivolous, asinine lawsuit. I don't even know why these guys are still hanging around, man. They're from Pakistan. These dudes are criminals. Stick them on the nearest barge and ship them out, man. What's the problem with that? Or I guess that's not honoring their rights? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Bobby Dooley. She thinks it was insulting that a dumpy, plain girl called her son to go to the prom. Oh, my God. It's coming up in the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Bobby Dooley is the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. She was on our show recently talking about how proms are coming up. And if you're a dumpy kind of plain girl, I think she kept using the term dumpy, you should know your place. And it's good. It's actually good to not go to the prom, not be asked, because then you know what to expect in life. But one dumpy plain girl called her son Seth and asked him to the prom, and it was traumatizing.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Ma'am, first mm-hmm. of all, before you start going at me.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to listen to you.
Hold on, that's disrespectful, so hear me out before you start going.
It's what I do. I'm sorry, it's a nervous habit. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, try not to, because nobody
can get over you. I'm not asking anything of you. I'm not asking to change you.
Secondly,
why are you asking to change me?
I'm not trying to change you. All I'm trying to do
is... Well, it happens to be a physical tick of mine.
Do not disrespect me.
I'm not.
Because you're asking for people to give you and your son respect.
Yes.
Respect is something that you need to give as well. Now, secondly, okay, I have gone to school with girls like you, and the problem with you is
don't disrespect.
Let Susan finish, please.
Don't disrespect. The problem with you is that you may be pretty, and your son may be attractive. but you feel very threatened by people with intelligence.
Uh-huh.
Because obviously you don't have intelligence, because if you had any intelligence at all, you would realize that any person who asks your son out would be a compliment to him. But obviously you don't understand that concept. Secondly, secondly,
I'm listening to you.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, to think that your son's little feelings were hurt because a girl asked him out is something that you have instilled in him. Now, number one, I was a very popular girl in school, but I was popular with not only the popular people, but with the very unpopular people.
So you were perfect. Well, isn't that wonderful?
No, but you know what? The thing is, ma'am, the thing is, ma'am,
you were like Jesus. You were just like Jesus.
Going based on what you say, I have more right to be arrogant than you do. However, your stupidity is leading your arrogance to come out on the national on the national radio.
Oh my God, you said television.
Tell people that your son is absolutely perfect with you. And you're wrong.
May I say something, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
I do appreciate Susan's comments. The point is that my son Seth is very popular with a lot of different girls.
As was I.
And you were popular with a lot of different girls?
Oh my God. I was popular with many of the girls. I was popular with many of the boys. That's absolutely correct. And I did have several people ask me out.
So did the girls ask?
It made me feel good to know that people liked me enough to want to be with me.
I think that it is really wrong, as we're talking about young people, for you to bring up the fact that you were attractive to other women. We are talking about young people at a prom.
No,
your lesbian liaison.
About my being attractive.
You said you were popular with girls. Mr. Henry, correct me. Did she not say?
I think she said she was popular and meant to say as a friend.
Well, she did not clarify that. She was alluding to sexually popular with other women.
No, actually, that came in your twisted mind. I said nothing about sexuality.
It's still all about you, isn't it, Susan? It's all about you.
Can you tell me a little more about you? You're the one on the radio talking about you.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Did you let the girls have the sticky fumblings with you in the back seats of cars?
No, ma'am, and why don't you go and put that one back in the movie where it belongs?
You know, Susan, you know what you look like to me with your good shoes and your bad bag?
Okay, movie was that again,
you look like
sweetheart?
A robe. You look like a robe. A well-scrubbed hustling robe.
Well, you know what?
Good nutrition is giving you length of bone, but you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash.
Your son
and
is
oh,
in the movie
how the
too,
boys found you with all their tired, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars. And you wanted to get out, Susan, didn't you? All the way to the FBI.
Honey, are you normal?
Phil Hendry Show. Comedy gold.
No, Susan, she's not. She's not normal, and we love her because she ain't normal. In many ways, though, she's hyper-normal. If you want to talk about Bobby Dooley as being abnormal, you can say that. But to me, she'll kind of be a hyper-normal person. She's the extreme of normality. She wants it all, man. She wants her son to marry a beautiful girl, be a doctor, and live in her big house and not be bothered with any of, quote, you, end quote. 1-800-449-8686. So I told you earlier that Al Franken is running for the United States Senate. He wants to be a senator from Minnesota. Is that it? He ain't gotten that Air America off the ground, and he wants to now. He's running. You talk about running. He's cutting his losses, and he's running as far away from Air America as he can get. That thing is an utter disaster. Let me repeat it one more time. It is an utter disaster. It was conceived. And the reason why it was an utter disaster was conceived by people who were not in radio. It was conceived by just some jive limousine yuppies who thought that that's how it works. What you do is you just hire a bunch of liberal people and you call it the liberal network. And that's not how it works. That's not how you hire talent. And that's not what are you supposed to do when one of your talent comes in on any given day and says, gee, I really like something President Bush said today. Does that mean they're fired from the Air America liberal network? So the whole thing is disastrous from beginning to end. They got three stations, and the only reason why I'm mentioning any of this is I think it needs to be mentioned. First of all, I happen to like the business that I'm in, and I don't like to see people come swooping in and treating it as if it's something easy to do. It ain't. So why don't I just start producing movies, huh? How about that? Why don't I just start directing and producing movies? I know, that looks easy to me. yeah, I'll just go get myself some cameras and a bunch of them actors, and I'll tell them to go run around, and I'll, you know, use up endless amounts of film, and it'll look like dog crap. And then I'll go, well, how come I don't get to be a movie director? Why? Because you're not a professional. That's why. Same reason why the Liberal Radio Network is a turd, because they're not professionals. Who are you to bumble into my business? Now go back to Saturday Night Live or whatever it is that you do. Write your books. That's fine. You want to be a talk show host, man? It actually takes just a modicum of talent, which obviously you ain't got. Go run for the U.S. Senate, man. Sounds like it's easier. Honest to God, I think Al Franken's a funny guy. And I happen to, you know, admire a lot of what he does, and I think a lot of what he says makes sense, most of which, however, I think is, you know, on the level of what comes out of a cat's rear end. But, you know, he's okay on average. But frankly, to grab a hold of a microphone like you're holding onto your thing and thinking that you could become a talk show host because it sounds easy, good luck, Ace, in your next job, whatever that one is. U.S. Senate, gardening, it's all downhill from here, Al, I can tell you that. 1-800-449-8686, our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. We also have Dean Wheeler coming up, helping illegal aliens over the border, and after he does that, he puts them to work as prostitutes. But hey, isn't that okay? I mean, he did help them out. Plus, we've got a situation in Miami where some guys were warning people about a police precinct or a police checkpoint. These people are hailed somehow as the defenders of American freedoms. We'll talk about that. And Kobe Bryant, too. It's like the Lakers are out. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
By the way, these computer viruses that are flying around out there, they're hysterical. I mean, there's not a one that's infected my computer. And they're the most lame, obvious things you've ever seen. From Frank. R.E. meeting. Then they've tried, you know, you have been dismissed. Then they have one with a bunch of numbers regarding text. And then there's one that said, I've been getting a bunch from Frank. And it says text. It's get out of here with your lame. You know what? The guy, bring back the days when those guys would make those viruses like that stripper virus that got into all the hard drive and just destroyed everything. Now that's a virus. These lame ass viruses, these guys, every day, man, I log on here at work. There it is, 900 emails from Fred or Frank or Susie. And there's another one that's kind of cute where they grab the first name of your, you know, if your username, your address or whatever, and they'll kind of address you that way. So it looks like, oh, well, maybe. And then they try the sexual angle. Hey, so-and-so, this is Susie. Remember me? And again, I just click, delete, 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 delete. It's not even fun anymore. Plus, that Norton antivirus is getting better and better. These viruses, they're slowing email traffic. Is that my understanding? I don't send that many emails. Most of the email I'm sending during the day is my wife is sending me a bunch of stuff, like house business or something about the kids. And while I'm trying to get the show ready with Janice, I'll see an email that'll demand some immediate attention or, I don't know, something from Doug upstairs, you know, at the website. I'm not going to criticize anybody. I realize people use email differently, but I suppose it's slowing it down. Other than that, are you guys kidding with these? Do you really think, oh, gee, I think I'll open this up and see what it's about. It's addressed from Fred, and it says the text I requested. Not that I know a guy named Fred, and not that I requested any text, but let me go ahead and open it anyway. And look at this. Here's one from a girl who really wants to get together for a drink, and she even sent her picture. I've never seen her before in my life. Let me just open that one up, and it could be, who knows, the beginnings of a wonderful Mormon-style life. Just a polygamous thing. And here's one. Oh, here's this guy, Frankie, again. And he said, oh, get out of here with that stuff. Would you guys find a life, any kind of a life? I think they got one in the recycler that ought to fit you. Oh, look at this. It says, enlarge your manhood. Click here. By all means. Breast enhancement? Sure. Materials you requested on enlarging your manhood. Click here. Okay, yeah, I'm going to do that right away, man. So what is this, the Sasser virus? So what's the story? It's got to be kids. I got a theory when it comes to people that plant bombs. I mean the mad bomber types. I'm not talking about Al-Qaeda. That's a whole other sickness, right? I'm talking about these, like that kid that was planting those bombs, mailbox bombs, anonymous phone callers, and people that create viruses are all the same kind of guy, okay? First of all, they're men. Secondly, they're really powerless, and they sort of have, there's just nothing going on. They get told what to do a lot during the day. They have jobs where they're sort of pushed around. They found out that in many instances, guys that make obscene phone calls, for instance, are guys that do telephone sales, and they're constantly getting phones hung up on them. It's a very powerless position, right? I got the same thinking. These guys that make these email viruses or these computer viruses are just utterly frustrated little men who... Somebody's, come on, Johnson, I want that thing packed out today, okay? I want all that in the shipping. Yes, sir, right away, sir. Come on, you fool! Why, you dirty. And then he just sits there in the sickness of his mind. All right, Dean Wheeler was on the show helping illegal aliens over the border from Mexico. What a nice guy, huh? And then he gives the women a place to stay. And then he gives them a nice dress. And finally we realize Dean is selling these women on the street.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Hi, Dean. Listen, I want you to do one thing. I want you to keep your mouth shut and let me talk. I am not Hispanic. I am white. I'm an American woman. Shut up. And I want to tell you that you degrade women so horribly. You take their self-respect away. If you are not, I would rather just be quiet. I would rather.
All right, but I'd like to get my liberal credentials.
Pick lettuce. I would rather clean toilets. I would do anything, but nobody is going to make me or any self-respecting woman do what you're making them do, and you're making them do it. I bet you you're not saying you want. You're not listening. You're talking. Shut
up. I'm hearing everything you're saying.
Then be quiet.
You haven't said which car wash you work at.
You know what? The only problem with trying to talk to someone like you
is
you are so sick.
Pam, go ahead. I'm listening.
You are sick and depraved.
I'm listening to you, Pam. Go ahead.
Thank you. You're so sick and depraved that you don't even know that what you're doing is sick.
No, ma'am. I'm trying to help young women
you
who
are
have
not
survived
helping
an arduous
anybody.
Journey.
You're not helping anybody.
They survived an arduous journey over the Anza-Borrega Desert, and I'm trying to give them an opportunity to provide some comfort for our Coast Guard personnel.
Oh, you know what? That is the biggest bunch of bullcrap I have ever heard.
These young men
that
are going off to fight in Iraq.
You can honestly say you believe that?
Wait a second. I want to jump in here, Dean. The Coast Guard doesn't fight in Iraq. It stays on the coast. It's called the Coast Guard.
And I want to tell you something else.
Men.
Don't you talk about our guys in Iraq, because my son is a Marine, and he went there. And you know what? He doesn't expect anything from any woman, because he went and fought for his country or to free other people. And, you know, he frees people, and you make them slaves.
Well, ma'am, I'm sorry that your son is fighting for George Bush in this illegal war.
You know what? Don't be sorry. Not be sorry. Do not be sorry. My son is helping free people.
Can I tell you a great story? You are making people slaves. Let me tell you a great story. Her name was Rosalie. She went back to Mexico last month. At the age of 14, she had made over $10,000 working for us.
At the age of 14? Is that what I just heard you say?
You are so sick and depraved. I cannot believe that.
I don't understand.
A 14-year-old girl...
She got well to the tune of $10,000.
Oh, that's really well.
You know something,
Pam? You know what?
You know what, Pam? When John Kerry becomes president,
you destroyed that young girl's life.
$10,000? I destroyed her life? You can buy Mexico City with that kind of money.
She probably could have been somebody great, but
now you have
ruined her.
Ma'am,
and
I will tell you... She's the most popular senior in the town.
You know what?
I'll bet she is.
I'm just glad that I really am not the judge, because if you ever make it as far as being judge, I don't want to be in your shoes.
Whatever.
Well, what is whatever supposed to mean?
You're sick.
What is whatever supposed to mean?
Whatever.
It means he doesn't have any way to defend himself.
You got no answer to that.
Whatever.
Okay, whatever. You know, Mr. Wheeler... You mentioned John Kerry.
Yeah, I'm a very big supporter of John Kerry, and he's not so uptight.
That explains a lot of stuff right there.
He's not so uptight sexually, because we're liberal Democrats.
Oh, so we put 14-year-olds to work in whorehouses, send them back to Mexico with 10 G's in her pocket, and that makes him the most popular señorita in town, huh?
You know what?
Well,
I don't like Kerry, but I'll tell you what, I bet he would even be sickened that you are something that would support him.
Oh, wait a second. John Kerry and I have exchanged emails, so don't...
Bull crap you have. I bet you've been talking to some guy that calls himself John. You sure it ain't Drew Kerry?
I don't appreciate you people laughing at me while I'm doing a public service, keeping these senioritas from being bleached in the sun.
That is not a public service.
Yeah.
That is enslavement, and it is being a pimp and making 14-year-olds be prostitutes. How can you say you're doing a service? That is so
great. Okay, Pam. All right, great. You know, I bet your husband really has a great time with you. Jeez.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right. There's Dean Wheeler and some chick, and I say that with the greatest of intentions, talking there about Dean and the safe house he has where he brings the senoritas up and puts them to work. Our number is 1-800-449-8686 here in the Phil Henry Show. Kobe Bryant will probably not be playing in the Olympics, and hey, who cares? We get our ass kicked at basketball these days anyway, so whatever. Like he's going to play his heart out, huh? I bet you I shouldn't say that. Kobe, that's the only way he can forget about his troubles is playing basketball. You want to know why he's playing so well? Well, in the case of yesterday's game, you want to know why he plays sometimes okay? It's because that's where he can get away from life. He's not doing anything extra special. He's doing what he does best, play basketball. And it helps him escape from the reality of the fact that there's a world out there, a world where people, you know, people have to be dealt with. And if you don't have skills at dealing with people, then it's a tough world to live in, as I'm sure it is for him. Because he's got about all the people skills of freaking Heinrich Himmler, it sounds like. Well, I guess that was a little over the top. Maybe Heinrich's kid brother, Kobe Himmler. Well, here's a guy that is an entitled American professional athlete. Now, this means only bad things. This is not good. When you're an entitled American professional athlete, you are a baby getting your rear end wiped, getting burped, and getting put to bed. And then they get you out of bed in the morning, they put you on an airplane, they stick your rear end out on a field, they tell you to do these jumping jacks and do those leg lifts, and then go out and play the game like this. Then they dump a big paycheck into your bank account, and they let you loose a few months out of the year, and you don't know what the hell to do you? You're running around driving drunk, you're manhandling women, you got your gun in your glove box, gun under the seat, showing off the shotgun you got in your billiard room, blowing away limousine drivers, waving your gun at people in traffic. You're a freaking loser with a capital L. Thank God you've got an entire apparatus backing you up, helping you find your way through this very difficult thing called getting out of bed in the morning. And when the season starts up again, your handlers come around and they handle you. Kobe Bryant will not be convicted of anything more than some kind of a battery charge. He will plead guilty to some lesser charge. He'll walk out of the courtroom a free man. He'll have to pay a hefty fine and attend some kind of, what do they call it, Janice? Violence training or some crap like that? Sexual sensitivity training. There you go. That's what's going to happen to Kobe Bryant. At the end of the day, that's exactly what is going to happen. Pamela Mackey, for all of her bullying and all of her pushing around, she knows it. She knows it right now. Why do you think he hasn't entered a plea? He hasn't entered a plea for two reasons. One, if he enters a plea, that means he's got to go to trial. Of course, he could have entered the plea and waived his right to a speedy trial, but by entering the plea, they might have been premature. Pamela Mackey's had her nose shoved in every garbage can for the last 8, 9, 10 months, trying to find something, anything, that will discredit this woman charging Kobe Bryant with rape. She's had her nose shoved in every sewer, toilet bowl, garbage can, vomit receptacle, anywhere and anything that she can find to try to discredit the accusing woman. And it ain't been coming up too good for her, I don't think. But she's going to push it all the way to the end because she's a good lawyer. She'll scare the crap out of this girl, scare her friends and family as much as she can. And then when D-Day comes, which is trial day, she'll do probably what a lot of them do. It's called trial house. It's called courthouse step lawyering. You know what that means? It means on the steps of the courthouse, that's where you get stuff done. You don't go to trial. This thing will never go to trial. Never. She'll get it knocked down. He'll pay a big fat fine. They'll tell him never to set his stupid rear end in Eagle County again as long as he lives. He'll be ordered to stay so far away from this person, like he doesn't want to anyway. And they'll have him go to sexual sensitivity / how to last longer than 5 minutes training. By the way, Kobe, 5 minutes, that's not what we call a real gangbuster record there for a man, you know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about? I'm Kobe Bryant.
Well, I know it should be enough, but probably isn't for a lot of women.
Well, my wife, I forgot her name now.
Yeah, the one you gave the diamond ring to?
Yeah. She seems to think it's okay.
I think she seems to think the diamond rings are okay. That's what she seems to think is okay.
Man, I'll check you later. I gotta warm up for the game.
Yeah, try and win one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Lakers won't get out of the Western Conference. My prediction, they will not get out of the Western Conference. I'm just full of good cheer for Laker fans tonight, huh? It's one of the things I live for, though, baby. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
You know, the Friends phenomenon is it's an amazing one. People enjoy the hell out of that show. My daughter has it all on DVD. It's going off the air this year. And I opened up a magazine. I got The Star, which has... I like The Star because I admire the dogged determination of their photographers. They're the guys that will go right up to Kirstie Alley as she shoves with the heel of her hand an entire Subway sandwich into her face, parked in her car in an alley, and they'll just go right up and get the picture, right? I mean, no wonder people just want to beat the living hell out of these guys. And why not? Wait a minute, Mr. Hendry, are you recommending that people beat up photographers? I just want to be clear, because we may have ourselves a lawsuit, Mr. Hendry. Let's see. If they come up to you and snap your picture relentlessly without getting your permission, yes, I recommend it. I recommend you beat them with something heavy and something made of metal. The base of a lamp, a crowbar. Yes, I do. I would. I mean, I wouldn't be able to help myself. I'm not a... Who knows? The guy might kick my ass. But how are you going to help yourself from literally beating within an inch of his life some guy who is constantly falling around with a camera? Click, click. Would you... Excuse me. Can I get some privacy here? I work for a magazine. Click, 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 click. Okay. I guess I have to do it. Pardon me. Would you hold this for a minute? Thank you. Now turn around. That's it. Bend over. Here we go. Boom! Anyway, this is hysterical, man. These cats are—they're running out of stuff to write about Friends, so they morph them all to see what they'll look like 20 years from now. Look at this. You want to see David Schwimmer? He looks—well, I mean, he looks the way I—if you would have morphed my ass when I was 30, man, I would have been kind if they made me look as good as these guys do. But let me just describe it. And the one who really suffers, Jennifer Aniston. Ooh. She looks like Porcina, the porcine one. She's got the round, fat face. She looks like Roseanne. Here's one of Matt LeBlanc, looks like an old alcoholic. David Schwimmer looks like an economics professor. Just that thin, the thinning hair on your economics professor. Courtney Cox kind of looks just fat. Matt LeBlanc looks exactly like Dick Cheney. And Lisa Kudrow looks actually the best of all. She just looks sort of like a, you know, like an aging hippie. But she looks good. But Jennifer Aniston's got the big jolly cheeks and everything, and kind of the round fat face that you see on a lot of fat women. And Courtney Cox, who's very skinny, if you ever saw her in that original video, the Bruce Springsteen video, there was nothing to her. She was like 90 pounds. Just a little thing. Man. never. If you're a kid and you don't want to be skinny, you want to put on weight, just wait a few years, man. It'll happen whether you like it or not. So what's next? All right, so they morph them. How about, I got a great idea. Can they do a double page foldout of what they'd look like after being in a five-car accident? Let's say missing a limb. Next month, the star will show you Jennifer Aniston if she had a prosthetic eye. Just the way it would kind of, woohoo, just the one eye would look at you funny. And then Matt LeBlanc after 6 days of shock therapy. That's next month in the star. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.